Hello and welcome to the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association, CERTRA for short, podcast. CERTRA's podcast series focuses on employee total rewards, compensation, benefits, and restaurant industry relevant topics. For those who don't know CERTRA, we are a non-for-profit professional organization dedicated to strengthening and enhancing total rewards within the restaurant industry. Total rewards encompasses employee compensation, benefits, paid time off, and other factors such as work-life balance that we are hoping to have organizations in the restaurant industry learn more about and consider adopting. CERTRA's goal is to educate and train representatives of our member companies by providing networking opportunities within our industry and hopefully broadening the total rewards information available to those professionals. CERTRA was established in 1976, so we've been at this for a while, and we consist of just over 100 chain restaurant member companies with even more concepts that are covered within those companies. To find out more about becoming a CERTRA member, check us out at CERTRAWEB.org. That's CERTRAWEB.org. My name is Jess Williams, and I'm the Chief People Officer for Biscuitville, based out of North Carolina, and I serve on the CERTRA Board of Directors as the Director of Member Education. Today, I have the great pleasure of welcoming a new guest to the Serving Up podcast, Jim Starr, President and CEO of America's Charities. Jim believes together we can make a difference in the lives of others and aims to optimize employee volunteer programs to better support corporate social responsibility, employee engagement, and community relations efforts, not to mention all the positive impact that these efforts can have on people in need. On that note, let's get started. Jim, welcome.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Jess.
So why don't we start with, you know, setting the stage here. We are now very much distance from the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we're still living with a new dynamic environment post-pandemic. During that period, unemployment and food insecurity soared. The number of crises certainly hasn't stopped, if you will. There is strife happening all around us. And one of the things that we really wanted to focus on today is how your organization helps organizations across a number of industries, but specifically in the restaurant industry, address some of those challenges. I was looking at the America's Charities blog and noticed that this past September, you and your team are partnering to help end hunger with Feeding America. And it's interesting in particular, especially as we approach the fall, and we know in the U.S. we celebrate Thanksgiving during the fall, and you know, food scarcity is certainly of tremendous importance to those of us in the restaurant industry. But we know it's not the only issue our communities are dealing with. That said, many of those member brands within CERTRA in the restaurant industry are looking for different ways to help serve our communities. That being said, with inflation being high and staffing continuing to be a challenge, we certainly have limited resources. So I'd love to hear from you, if you would just share with our audience how your organization, America's Charities, helps companies with their corporate social responsibility efforts, and more specifically, you know, talking about employee assistance funds.
Sure. Jess, thank you. And the pandemic has definitely been very challenging for everybody, particularly those in the restaurant industry. But folks, you know, across this country and within the industry itself were, experiencing hardships before the pandemic and are certainly experiencing those in today's world. But what America's Charities does is we partner with companies that allow them to enable them and their employees to give back to their communities and support the causes that matter most to them. We do this by implementing and supporting programs that engage employees through charitable giving and volunteering. We also support corporate giving and grants programs. And we also offer, as you alluded to, our employee assistance funds to companies that are looking for ways to provide additional support to their employees who are experiencing a financial hardship due to some type of qualified or unexpected event. This has been an incredibly valuable service to organizations that really are looking for ways to find additional pathways to support their employees. We know that 40% of Americans can't afford an unexpected expense of $1,000 for something like a medical emergency or damage to their home or having to pay for a funeral for a loved one. And so these types of programs can be in place to help deal with that stress and the uncertainty that a financial challenge can present.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, as recent as this morning, I was listening to the news and I heard a statistic that I hate to admit, I'm not surprised, but the number of Americans that are now tapping into their savings, given the cost of living increases tied to inflation, has been soaring over the last several weeks. And unfortunately, I think we're going to continue to see that increase. And I imagine your organization is probably seeing a bit of a trend, if not already, but is probably anticipating some of that to spill over into the work that you guys do. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, we are seeing, we do see that. I will say, you know, an employee assistance fund isn't there to, you know, offset things like inflation and things of that nature. However, the inflationary environment does create additional financial stress. And so when something happens, like your car transmission falls out or you have a medical need, things of that nature, it places an additional added stress. And so, yes, we're seeing people, you know, tap into their savings, to their 401k plans, maximizing, you know, their credit cards, you know, quite a bit. And we are seeing applications for assistance where folks are saying, I've maxed out my credit card bills to try to deal with this situation, and I can't do it any longer, and I need some help. Can you please help us?
Yeah, I think that's a really important nuance. I know my organization, we just recently rolled out our employee assistance fund, as you know, and we're really enjoying the partnership that we're having with America's Charities. And we are finding there's a lot of requests being made as it relates to financial hardship due to this inflationary environment. And I do think that's an important nuance for our audience to understand, that the work your team does as it relates to providing relief in crisis is really specific to how those programs are designed by the respective organizations that partner with you. So, it's not necessarily a one size fits all, but ordinarily it's for things that are unanticipated. And sure, we could all say none of us necessarily anticipated inflation, but it's something that I think collectively we're all challenged with. So categorizing it as crises is a little bit out of scope. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate characterization. Basically, with employee assistance fund programs, there are, at the end of the day, there are really kind of just two key factors. One is that someone has to have experienced an event, an unexpected event. So it could be, a trip to the emergency room, a tree falling on your house, being a victim of a crime, a military deployment, death of a loved one. There's, you know, a whole host of things that can be called what we'll call kind of a triggering event that's created some financial stress on the individual. And then the second piece is that there has to be a financial hardship that's been demonstrated as a result of that that event. So, you know, someone had to go to the emergency room, their, medical plan, they have a $5,000 deductible and the ER bill is $1,000. So they need help paying that $1,000 expense. That's something that an emergency assistance fund can help with, provided that they don't have the financial wherewithal to actually pay that $1,000.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that I think is probably a question on many of our members' minds is, you know, how do you actually approach this from a restaurant concept perspective? You know, there's all different business structures. You know, Biscuitville, for example, we're family owned, so we're privately held, and all of our restaurants are corporate. We have some member companies that, you know, are franchised. Is there any differences in how that gets handled, and or are there any nuances that you and or your team have seen as far as providing these types of services is concerned?
Yeah, certainly. And so we work with a variety of different restaurant brands, including, you know, ones like Biscuitville that has essentially, you know, the corporate store model, and others that are predominantly franchised models. The nature of the actual employee assistance fund and what it can cover and the grants that can be provided and how someone seeks assistance and everything like that, the basics elements of the programs are essentially the same. There's not really a whole lot of difference with respect to that between a corporate-owned model versus a franchised model. However, one of the things that you do have to pay attention to, and your franchised model members will definitely understand this, is making sure that how the program is administered respects the separate employer concept between the corporate headquarters and the franchisees. One of the things that we typically do with our corporate-owned clients is have that client provide us a roster of the eligible individuals so that we can verify employment. That is one of the things that we need to be able to do, is ensure that the person seeking assistance is actually eligible to seek assistance. Now, with the franchised model, we can't ask the corporate headquarters to provide a roster, because then that then starts to skirt that line between the separate employer issue, and corporate shouldn't have, you know, all of that information. So we've developed a process where we can verify a franchised employee's employment through the application process. It's just a different mechanism that we've implemented to satisfy that need. That's probably the biggest difference is how we work with the franchised employee organizations.
Excellent. Well, I kind of want to come back to you in particular. I think, you know, what you do as it relates to America's Charities is really interesting work. And I think all of us, I should say all of us, but most of us in the field of HR, you know, we're always curious about how people find their ways into their professions. And if you wouldn't mind, just share with our audience a little bit about your background and how you came to America's Charities and what are the things that you really enjoy most about your role.
Sure. There's a lot to unpack with that question, but I will I'll try to be concise. When I got out of school, I spent about the first decade of my career in management consulting, doing strategy work, predominantly focused in the healthcare sector. But then found my way to the American Red Cross and spent the next 15 years there in a variety of leadership positions, and was involved in engaging individuals and companies in the mission of the Red Cross. Which I found very satisfying and rewarding, and love that kind of partnership element to bring other people into the mission of the organization. But then I found the opportunity at America's Charities, I guess it's about 8 years ago, and really fell in love with the mission and the people that make up the organization. And I saw really a lot of potential in how the organization can further support companies, the nonprofit sector, and kind of philanthropy overall. And I'd say the things that I really enjoy most about the work that I do and that America's Charities does is it really comes down to three things. One is the direct impact that we have on worthy charitable causes through our work with companies and the employee giving and volunteering programs. And those efforts really are making a significant difference to the charitable sector. Secondly, it's the difference that we are making for individuals and people that are facing a difficult financial hardship. And this is through our employee assistance funds. We are providing assistance, grant assistance to thousands and thousands of people every year, many with just kind of heartbreaking situations. And so it's really makes you feel good to know that we've got a role in helping someone overcome those obstacles. And then last, it really just comes down to, working with, an awesome team at America's Charities. Our employees and our board of directors are just incredibly committed people to the work that we do. And it just makes working and leading there just a great opportunity.
Excellent. I think those are all very commendable reasons, and I think ones that we're grateful that you're at the helm of this organization. And I know I can speak for Biscuitville and our team in particular. We've really gotten a great sense of comfort, frankly, and peace of mind, knowing that we can tap into your team and yourself as far as expertise is concerned to navigate these programs and ensure that we're really able to help our team members in particular in this era of, social responsibility. And I think it's one that many of us are proud to see a resurgence of. And I think I can say that we would not be able to do what we're able to do today within Biscuitville without that partnership. And I would certainly encourage other member companies who are contemplating these types of programs, of which I know there are many, to reach out to you and your team. So talk to me a little bit about the evolution of America's Charities. I know you guys have been around for quite some time, and is there anything here recently that you guys have changed to address some of that increasing demand? Or are there things that you've got maybe in the works that you'd be comfortable to share with our audience?
Yeah, of course. You're right. We've been around for just over 40 years. And the organization over those four decades has evolved, and we continue to evolve. We actually began as an association of charities looking to increase their access into workplace giving programs, particularly in the public sector or government programs. We incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit and began to expand our services to other charitable organizations. And then in the early 2000s, we started working directly with companies to provide an online platform for employee giving, actually one of the first online platforms for employee giving at that time, and really started to grow our kind of corporate philanthropy and corporate social responsibility programs and efforts over the next two decades. And most recently, several years ago, we launched our employee assistance funds. We saw that as a need from our own clients and companies that we're serving and others that were reaching out to us, asking if this was a program that we do or could do. And so we were able to quickly develop that and grow that to where we today have well over 120 clients serving a wide variety of industries and organization sizes, from a couple thousand employees to over 300,000 employees. And we're now actually getting ready to launch our scholarship services as well, where we can offer the management of scholarship programs for companies. We've already got several clients that we're providing that service for, and we'll be kind of growing that particular aspect of our product portfolio in the very, very near future. And all of this is really built on our core competencies of serving both the charitable sector and the corporate sector in these types of programs. We know how to look at things like applications, for instance, with the Employee Assistance Fund. That also works in the scholarship area as well. We know how to manage charitable donations that are coming into our organization and then being designated and dispersed to other charitable causes, be that a nonprofit or to an individual needing assistance. And so finding ways to kind of leverage those core competencies into other ways to basically better society is kind of what we're about.
It's really exciting stuff. Admittedly, I wasn't aware of the work you guys have recently started with the scholarship services. So selfishly, I'll probably be reaching out to you at some point in the future to explore that. Of course, we want to make sure we've got our employee relief fund in good working order before we dive into another space. But I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing that. There's without a doubt a great amount of need. And I think that's one of the things that for me personally, as a representative of a client of y'all's, means a lot that you guys are, that America's Charities is really focused on trying to make sure that, you know, you're meeting corporations where they need your support to help bring this type of change in across society, to help people improve themselves and find themselves in better situations than they're in at the present time. So with that, I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us that get to work with you and those that will certainly be reaching out to work with you in the future. Before we wrap, how can folks who are interested to learn more about America's Charities get in contact with you to find out more?
Sure. Well, a couple of ways. One, if someone would like to reach out directly to me and chat, they can email me at jstarr@charities.org. That's J-S-T-A-R-R at charities.org. But they could also visit our website at www.charities.org and also find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Wonderful. Well, Jim, thank you for your time today, and thank you to America's Charities for the support that you provide corporations to make a difference for the betterment of our own communities across the U.S. And thank you to our audience for taking the time to listen in. I hope you found today's pod helpful. If you have a podcast suggestion, feel free to email office@crtraweb.org with any suggestions. We hope you'll tune in next time, and please subscribe so you won't miss any of the great information in our future podcasts. We'd love your comments and feedback as well. And remember, today was about progress, not perfection, so please forgive us for any technical challenges. Thanks for listening to Serving Up. Have a great day.